Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming up on the Just Fantasy Baseball podcast, we give you our headlines. We got a bunch of them. Waiver wire pickups, lock of the week, streaming pitchers, MVP, and we even answered a fan question. All that and a whole lot more coming up on the Just Fantasy Baseball podcast. Welcome back to the Just Fantasy Baseball podcast. My name is Rami Levy. That is Vince D'Amato. We got a lot to get to, not a lot of time to do it. So, Vinny, what's up?
Well, Bears lost yesterday, so that was kind of tough. Heard your Jets won, so congratulations.
Barely, yeah.
You know, I wasn't aware. I always knew CJ Stroud was good, but that was the first time I'd watched a full game of him, and that dude can ball. So yes, I was impressed. Awesome. He was phenomenal. So that was a little bit sad, but
and they left points on the board. Like, oh yeah, the Texans left a lot of points on the board. It felt like in mm-hmm. that game, that game was closer than it should have been.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying too. I think the Bears' defense is really good, but you're absolutely right. They left points. I mean, they had great field position twice in the fourth quarter.
Line. Yep,
they couldn't capitalize. So Bears got a little lucky, but couldn't capitalize.
Yeah, I think CJ is one of those guys, and I talk about this with Bilal Powell, who I host my Jets podcast with. He played for the Jets for 10 years, Bilal did, and he talks about just watching CJ in, you know, post-game press conferences break down certain plays and the way he reads a defense. He's like, he could tell. He sent me this early last year, like after his second game in the league, and was like, oh no, this guy's got it. Like, it was a play to Dalton Schultz, and they were talking, the two of them were talking about it, and how, you know, Schultz trusted him, a veteran tight end trusted him. And he said, yeah, he changed the play. He told me to do something a little different. And Bilal was explaining to me, he's like, that's not like average. That's not common for most quarterbacks. So it's more like his, like, obviously the skills there, but the way he understands the game already, you know, two games into his career as an NFL quarterback is crazy. Especially when you see guys like Bryce Young, who was benched today, and even like Jaden Daniels, the way he played yesterday. And obviously Caleb, you see it now. And you've seen it with Mitch, and you've seen it with Justin Fields. Also, it's tough when you're a rookie quarterback and you're thrown right in there. Like, I think who knows what happens to, you know, Caleb Williams' career, not Caleb, but Bryce Young's career now, but he gets benched today. Part of that probably is because he was thrown into the fire in Carolina when he wasn't ready and the team around him wasn't good enough. Sam Darnold right now is playing great for Minnesota. When he played for the Jets, he couldn't do anything because they had no offensive line, no weapons, no running back, nothing. Like, yeah. So, you know, it's tough. To the baseball stuff, have you seen the Gerrit Cole and Rafael Devers stuff from over the weekend?
I did. I saw that the Red Sox are going to thank Gerrit Cole if they make the playoffs. So you want to walk us through what happened there?
Well, they could thank him all they want, but the Yankees won 3 out of 4. I don't really care. But naturally, Rafael Devers is Gerrit Cole's daddy. That's been a long time. Devers crushes Gerrit Cole. There was one game last year, I think, where he had like a couple strikeouts against him and Cole got like pretty fired up about it. But like other than that game, I don't think there's ever been a game that he doesn't at least have a couple hits and usually a homer off Cole. Sure. The numbers are ridiculous. You could look them up if you want. But Devers, even earlier in the week, so it was like they asked Gerrit Cole a question. They said, who's like the one batter you fear facing? And he said, oh, definitely Rafael Devers. So he knows it. And I think the problem is with Cole, a lot of his struggles at times are mental. When he does struggle, like, I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago, the ceremonial first pitch went too long on opening day. And he blamed that for him being out of whack and not pitching well on opening day. Like some stuff, like it's like sometimes there are like things that aren't perfect. You have to get over your mental hurdles. And with Devers, like if you're going into a game saying he's my daddy, you know, then it's not going to work out well for you. So the Red Sox were pissed because he hit Devers in the first inning. It's like, well, this is the guy you just said was the guy who owns you. And now you're hitting him, like pitch to him at least. And then the very next at bat, it's the fourth or fifth inning. Nobody's on base. Cole has a no-hitter going, and he intentionally walked Rafael Devers, which makes no sense. Like,
what if you have nobody on base, I can understand, you know, late in the
runners
game.
Runners on base, right. Later in the game, it was like the fourth or fifth inning. He intentionally walked him, and then Cole imploded, and it started a rally for the Red Sox, and the Yankees lose that game. It was just ridiculous. The Yankees come back, they win the series, but it's like, my God, your best pitcher and the guy who won the Cy Young last year is that mentally weak. It's kind of rough.
And I do have the numbers, Devers versus Cole. In 46 plate appearances, Devers is hitting .350 with 8 home runs to 15 strikeouts off of Gerrit Cole in the regular season. So definitely owns
him. And he crushed him in that wild card game, in if you want to look it up, 2021 also. But yes.
It just shows the playoffs. He's hitting .505 plate appearances. So,
Right, because they also played when he was in Houston. Yep.
Sure. So I think it just goes to show, too, like, you want your best players. Like, if you're going to be the best team in baseball, you have to compete against the best. And if you're pitching around, yes, like, that just tells me of the wrong mindset. So I agree with that. It's a little disappointing. And obviously, it looks like Gerrit Cole kind of regrets it. But
yeah,
we'll see how he handles that going forward. But yeah, you don't like to see that.
Did you see the Helio Ramos headline from this week?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Very cool. I didn't realize that was even a thing.
I know. So for those of you who don't know, he's the first right-handed batter to hit a home run into the McCovey Cove, into the water that went directly into the water in San Francisco in right field. Now, it is a deep part of the ballpark, and that's this clear, you know, the stands there, that little walkway. I've never been there, but it looks fantastic. And has to clear it and go into the water. And for a right-handed hitter to go the other way, it's tough. You think a guy like Giancarlo Stanton, when he played for the Marlins, probably had a bunch of opportunities at it. Albert Pujols, when he played for St. Louis, probably had opportunities at it. Like, you think someone who's got incredible power the other way, like the two guys I mentioned, would have done it. And the fact that it's Helio Ramos, a 24-year-old who's like really burst on the scene this year, we've talked about him a bunch on this podcast, kind of a cool story.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And yeah, I saw another stat too, that it was the fastest pitch to a Giants player has homered off of since pitch tracking began in 2008. I think that's pretty cool. And it took 25 years to
get. What was the pitch?
102 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, generally, if you're going to hit a pitch that fast, that hard, it will go the other way. Like I always talk about, speaking of Rafael Devers, the first time I saw like his welcome to the majors moment, I was at the game sitting on top of the Yankee dugout when he hit the opposite field home run off of Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning. I want to say 2016, 17-ish. And it goes the other way into the Red Sox bullpen at Yankee Stadium. That's the deepest part of the ballpark there. It was also like 100-something mile an hour fastball and just went the other way on it. It was crazy. And I remember like off the bat, I was like, nah. And then I was like, whoa, it kept carrying. It was just nuts. Last night, I was complaining about this on Twitter in real time, and then like I was proven right. So I was watching Sunday Night Baseball while I was watching Sunday Night. I was working the Sunday Night Football game on the radio for Westwood One, and I was watching the Sunday Night Baseball game on TV. And with a runner on second, it was a runner on third, in the bottom of the ninth, top of the ninth. Wow. I'm really having a hard time setting the stage. In the top of the ninth, runner on third, two outs in a tie game, the Dodgers were at the plate against the Braves, and the Braves intentionally walked Shohei Ohtani to face Mookie Betts. And I tweeted it out in the moment. I said that is psychotic behavior. That is just following a narrative. Ohtani's a great player. Don't get me wrong. Ohtani is much more volatile when it comes to strikeouts than Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts has been a contact, put the ball in play, clutch hitter for far longer than Ohtani ever has been. Mookie Betts has been crushing pitchers for years in the league. And I don't care what this year says, even if Ohtani's having this historic season, I've seen Ohtani a million times in person. I make it a point whenever he's in town, wherever I've been, when I worked in Baltimore, well, now that I'm working here in New York, I go see him as many times as possible, every game of a series sometimes. He has much more volatile when it comes to swing and misses. He loads up. If I'm picking one guy, I need an RBI single, you know, fate of the universe on the line. I take Mookie Betts 100 times out of 100 over Shohei Ohtani if it's just a poke, you know, single up the middle, you know. And well, they walk Ohtani. Betts comes up, gets the RBI single, and then I think Freeman doubled, and then they blew it open with a Will Smith home run. But to me, I said it in real time. And then when I was proven right, I was like, it makes no sense. It's literally living by a narrative. It's because you see all the headlines about, oh, Ohtani. And it actually got me thinking about the MVP conversation that we had, because it's like, wait, maybe the narrative is carrying more weight than like it should be.
Yeah. And I mean, just looking real quick, I was looking while you were talking, because when you get into those situations, at least from a baseball perspective, in my mind, I'm like, okay, who is more likely to just get on base and get a hit, like make your life tough? And it is Mookie Betts. I mean,
of course
Mookie's
it is.
Got a 389 on base, and that's phenomenal. I mean, don't get me wrong, Shohei's got a 374, it looks like, so it's not far behind, but I think you're absolutely right.
No,
like,
sense. I said it in real time before it happened, and it was like the most obvious thing when he got the base hit. I was like, I don't know. You know, if you didn't see that coming, that's on you. A couple of injury updates. First of all, Corey Seager confirmed out for the year now because he's going to get the surgery for a sports hernia. And then Tyler Glasnow, right? He's out for the year as well. So the Dodgers, speaking of the Dodgers, their pitching is in shambles. And we actually had someone call up to the radio station and from LA who was, you know, there's a lot of people who still older people who are Brooklyn Dodger fans who are, I guess the caller was from Brooklyn, but he follows. He's still an LA Dodgers fan now that they moved out there, but he remembers them for Brooklyn. So he's an older caller. And he was like, I think they could blow the division. They got, you know, their pitching is in shambles. That I don't trust them the rest of the way, even though there's only a few games left. But yeah, I mean, I don't know about blowing the division. I think they're pretty safe there. But as far as the playoffs, like you can't feel super confident going into the playoffs with the way your rotation looks if you're the Dodgers, unless you just bludgeon everyone to death with your offense, which your offense is really good. I get that. But the bullpen is just trash right now. I mean, the starting rotation is trash right now. And Jacob DeGrom made his return. So it was cool to see him back. The simple man. Pumping 99 just right by people. He's the greatest pitcher I've ever seen. I'll always stand by that. Like, he really is. I know Pedro, I was really young when Pedro was dominant, so I remember it a little bit. I've gotten to meet Pedro a couple times. He's awesome. And CeCe in his prime, I think, was excellent. I got to see him in person a few times, but seeing DeGrom in person, the amount of times I've seen him, and then just watching him, like, I've never seen anyone more dominant than Jacob. Like, even prime CeCe, even any of these guys, you know, and I'm not saying CeCe is the best, but I just got to see him in person a lot. DeGrom,
yeah, I mean, anyone. It's absolutely true. And the only one, like, you know, I think it's tough to make those comparisons sometimes, right? And we talk about it, you know, different eras create different ball players.
Oh, for sure.
Jacob DeGrom of this era is absolutely the best. And the only one that I can think of off the top of my head that's even, you know, within spitting distance is Justin Verlander, maybe in his prime.
He's not close. Like, he's what Verlander has is like, that's like saying Brady versus, you know, like Peyton or something, because Brady would be Verlander in this situation where he's like got the longevity and the winning and all that stuff. Whereas DeGrom, and all at a great level, keeping it maintained, great level. But DeGrom, when he's out there, and so maybe it's more like Aaron Rodgers, less like Peyton.
Sure.
I've never seen anything like that. Like prime Aaron Rodgers, I don't care. Even Patrick Mahomes can't do what prime Aaron Rodgers could do.
Or maybe even Clayton Kershaw's another one. Like, you know, right, when they're just out there. It's,
yeah, but still, there's no one as dominant and so simple that DeGrom can go through the top three in an order, throw only fastballs, throw nine fastballs, and just paint them. Like, I've never seen anything like it. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into some of the stuff from this week. Waiver wire pickups. I got two of them. So how many do you have?
So I have three, but I'll go in the middle of yours because mine kind of all tie together. So
okay.
Mine will be quick hitting. So go ahead.
I want to start with Kyle Isbell because he is a guy from the Kansas City Royals. I looked at a couple of Royals because I thought Tommy Pham also. My point is the Royals are playing well. Their offense is playing well, but I don't think you realize Kyle Isbell not getting a ton of plate appearances, but he should be getting more now because in the last week, 526 on base, a homer, two RBIs, two stolen bases, and six runs scored. He's an outfielder. He's only rostered in 1% of Yahoo leagues. And again, they're going to be rotating a bunch of cast of guys with some of the injuries they have, but their offense is hot right now. I like Kyle Isbell from the Kansas City Royals.
It's a good call. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely been hitting well. A couple multi-hit games in his last five or six, it looks like. So a home run. If he starts getting some playing time, I think that's a good call. Mine is, I'll go on a little soapbox here just because, you know, we talk about catcher being a little bit thin. we don't, I think, talk enough about how first base has not panned out the way that we want it to be. I mean, we've had the debate, Matt Olson and Pete Alonso, right? Yeah. Have not turned out. Other than Vladdy, and I don't even know if you can consider Bryce Harper as being a hit this year. A lot of first.
He didn't have a home run for a month.
Right. Even Freddie Freeman has kind of not been what we, you know,
yep.
The Freddie Freeman that we expect. So
trust me, I know I have Freeman and Harper and I didn't win anything, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really been a letdown. And so I've been stuck in a couple leagues that I've really been without a good enough first baseman. Vinny Pascantino going down really hurt me in a couple. So all of this just to say there are three first basemen I think you should absolutely consider adding. If you're in a tough first base bind, sure, go ahead.
Luke Raley.
He is. So I was going to go in descending order. He's my third option.
Okay.
45% rostered. Yeah. He's been hot lately. Last 10 games, 3 home runs, 10 RBIs. He's hitting .353. Out of all of these guys that I'll talk about, he has the highest, I think, power speed blend to offer. But he's also the riskiest. So keep an eye on Luke Raley. If none of these other two are available, I think you should absolutely go get, if he's available, my next guy is Nolan Shanwell, first baseman for the Angels, right? He was drafted was it a year ago now? Great hit tool, and he's been figuring it out. I don't think he's got a ton of power to speak of. Just one home run in the last 6 games, but he's 10 for 21.
One of those guys we talk about is going to get a ton of opportunity on a bad team.
Yeah, he's hitting right in the middle of the lineup, right? And he's a great on-base guy, .345 on base for the season, right in the middle of the Angels lineup, makes a great addition. He's only rostered in 52% of Fantrax leagues. And the last one, a guy that I've talked about recently and actually dropped him, Carlos Santana has figured it out again. So he had a great start to the year. He cooled off a little bit.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
August, but his last 10 games, 12 for 34 with 4 home runs, 9 runs, and 8 RBIs. So,
yeah, we talked about him earlier in the year.
Yeah, in that order, I would take Santana, then Shanwell, and then Luke Raley, because I am really struggling in a couple leagues for a first baseman. So I went out and grabbed Santana, and hopefully he keeps it up, right? But I think he has the longest track record out of all the guys, obviously, right? He's a longtime veteran and he's had the best season so far. So definitely lean him. But those are three good options for first base if you need a first baseman.
My next one could be a streaming option, but I think he's a pickup. I don't even think he's a streamer. That's Joey Cantillo. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but that's how I'm going to pronounce it for now.
I don't know if it's, it looks like it would be Cantillo, but.
Right. I know, but yeah. I don't know.
He's
anyway.
From Hawaii. Yeah.
Yeah. He's in his last 2 starts, 12 innings, 2 wins, 16 strikeouts, a 0.75 ERA and a 0.5 whip. He's starting on Thursday against the Minnesota Twins and your guy, Simeon Woods Richardson. But forget about that. Like, he's rostered in 7% of fans of Yahoo leagues. I wouldn't even say, again, this is a team that's, you know, trying to make a playoff push. I wouldn't even say that he's a streamer for this week. I would pick him up. Those last 2 starts are extremely impressive, and it's back-to-back starts where he's shown you something. So, you know, definitely pick him up for Thursday's game, 1 o'clock start. So be aware of that early game on Thursday, but you know, I would pick him up for Thursday. And if he pitches well, again, I'd ride him for the rest of the way.
Yeah. I looked at Cantillo Tio. The only reason I didn't pick him was he had a start against the White Sox that he dominated. That was one of the last 2 that you mentioned. And then Tampa Bay. Those were 2, you know,
yeah, I know.
And his next one's against Minnesota. So that's why I was like, I don't know, you know, maybe he's got it. He's absolutely looked great. You know, like you said, 16 strikeouts and 12 innings is unbelievable to just 1 walk. So I like that call. I have a couple though as well. Tyler McGill for your New York Mets. I don't know if he was on your,
he was on my radar, but I went with a different Met.
Sure. Okay. He's going against Washington on Tuesday. It looks like he's going to stay in the rotation. And I'm really going with it because his last start against Toronto was phenomenal. Six innings, one hit, nine strikeouts, and two walks on just 88 pitches, which I love. He's very efficient. Offers some strikeout upside, minimal risk to your ratios. Tyler McGill, I absolutely would be going for him.
All right, so mine is Jose Quintana the following day against Washington as well. And the 3.91 ERA on the season, don't be fooled by that, because the last 15 starts, he has a 3.01 ERA. So this guy has been good for a really long time. And the fact that, and I forget the number because I don't have it here, I'm trying to look quickly, but the fact that he's still available in as many leagues as I saw is just crazy to me, because I don't know if you've known this, but the Mets, yeah, sure, they've gotten a lot of clutch hitting, and he's 24% rostered in Yahoo leagues. They've gotten a lot of clutch hitting, sure, and their bullpen's been good, but they've been carried by this starting rotation for the last month, I would say. And this starting rotation, whether it's Severino, whether it's Quintana, Manaea, like you said, McGill, and obviously David Peterson, who's been off the like off the charts with how good he's been lately. It's nuts that these guys, I mean, those five guys, when you say those names, you don't think, oh, wow, best starting rotation in baseball. Right. That's what the Mets have been the last month. They've been one of the best starting rotations in baseball. And so when they dropped a couple of games on the trip in Arizona and against San Diego, now they lost two out of three to Philly, I know, but this is a bounce back week for the Mets. Trust me on that. They're playing Washington at home, a team that they like to do well against. They're coming home. It's the last homestand of the year. They need to make the playoffs. They feel like they've put themselves, they've done everything they can to put themselves in playoff position. And I have my 81.5 over bet, and they've been sitting on 81 wins for a little. I knew the last one was going to be the hardest one to get. But so yeah, I'm hoping that it happens before Quintana pitches. I'm hoping that McGill does it. Is that tonight or McGill's Tuesday?
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep. So tonight is I forget who's pitching. They're putting a special Grimace seat out there, and Grimace is going to be back at the game. I also heard they're putting in a commemorative bathroom stall for couples at to commemorate the Hawk Tua girl who threw out the first pitch for them. So they're celebrating their history of this 2024 season, and they need to close it out strong, go make a playoff run, and I trust that the Mets are going to do that. So I like their pitching.
And, you know, I remember I called David Peterson a sell a couple weeks ago, right before his start with Toronto, and he went 4 1/3 and gave up five runs, four earned.
Wasn't his best start.
And I was like, I called it. Like, I took a little early victory lap, and then he went out and shoved against Philly 7 2 thirds and won it. And I was like, well, you know, good for him. I'm happy for him. I just,
yeah, maybe if you sold for that one start. And by the way, that could have been the difference. Like, for fantasy players who are in the fantasy playoffs and championship, whatever, okay, you sold for that one start. Yeah. And then you'll live with the results afterwards because you got him off your roster. Maybe the guy you're playing against or someone else got tripped up because of that one start. So, yes, you know, and you got something that helped you. So, I don't think it was necessarily a bad call.
Sure. I just want to, you know, always want to keep ourselves accountable, right? And sorry, Ryan, I know you, David Peterson, probably one of your guys, right? Mets guy. My other streamer, I have another streamer, and then again, another guy I didn't do a deep dive on, but someone you should absolutely pay attention to. My streamer is Alec Marsh, my second one here, for the Kansas City Royals, rostered in 34% of leagues. And he's starting on Wednesday versus Detroit. And I'm going for him because his last start, again, was phenomenal. Five innings only, but 11 strikeouts to just two walks and one earned run. I like that he's been consistent. He's out of his last 10 starts, he's only allowed more than three earned in just two of those. And I think he's a must start in all wins leagues. I mean, Kansas City against Detroit, Kansas City's heavily favored. Marsh doesn't go deep into games typically, so quality starts, I can understand not taking that risk. I'd still lean towards starting him, but if you're in a wins league, Alec Marsh makes too much sense. I mean, talk about strikeout upside, for days. I absolutely think Alec Marsh should be rostered pretty much everywhere for streaming this week. And I think there's a lot of other, I think there's a lot of other great options this week. Just streaming in general seems plentiful. A lot of good matchups against bad teams, and Marsh against Detroit feels like one of those.
Yeah, it's a weird time of the year also for that. So, but was that your last one?
I did want to mention too, because you've mentioned this guy, Cave Povich, had a great week last week. He should be on people's radars. He was actually the difference for me in losing strikeouts last week. He had 13 strikeouts and 9 2/3. he hurt my opponent's ratios, but he won strikeouts because of that. So Cade Povich should absolutely be on your radar too.
Yep. So let's get to the MVPs of the week. I'm going to start with a guy that we've talked about throughout this year and a guy who at times, you know, we got a fan question early. And speaking of, real quick before we get to the MVP, actually, because we did have a fan question. Somebody asked us about Musgrove versus Clark Schmidt for this week. Now, both of them pitched well. Schmidt went 5 2/3, gave up 2 runs in his first start back against the Red Sox, and he's going to be facing Seattle later this week, whereas Musgrove dominated, 8 strikeouts in 6 innings. And I assume he's going to end up pitching over the weekend
against the White Sox.
Yeah, against the White Sox. So I think the answer is obvious there. Musgrove, not only is he better coming off the better start, but he's also going against the worst team. And yeah, so that's what I would say.
I think I agree with you. I also lean Musgrove for a few reasons. One, just the longer track record.
Yeah, the strikeout upside.
Mm-hmm. And I think this feels closer because Musgrove has had some injuries over the last couple of years that have kind of been, it feels a little freakish, right? Just his injuries. So, but absolutely has figured it out. He had one bad start in his last 2 starts ago. But other than that, he's been lights out since pretty much
the beginning of. Schmidt is scheduled to start. He could always get bumped to the bullpen because they're trying to try everyone in the bullpen. Mm-hmm. See what, like, they just skipped another Stroman start because they're trying to figure out what their rotation is going to look like in the playoffs, the Yankees.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely think it should be Musgrove the rest of the way, even though, you know, he's got the White Sox and then he goes to the Dodgers. I still lean Musgrove. I just think the upside's there and the floor. I mean, Musgrove he's a veteran, right? You know, he's figured it out. So, do you want to do your MVP?
Yeah, so to my MVP, who was, and thank you for chiming in. We'll obviously be taking all your fan questions whenever we can. But this guy was someone chimed in early in the year about Fernando Tatis Jr. And in the last week, 8-for-20, 4.29 on base, 4 home runs, 8 RBIs, a stolen base, 6 runs scored. So this guy came back. Obviously, he was hurt. He came back with a bang, and he's been awesome since coming back. Again, the season overall, kind of frustrating, mostly because he only has 352 plate appearances all year, or at bat, sorry, more plate appearances than that. You know, so that's why the season overall may be a little frustrating. The numbers are solid, you know, but 350 on base, like, it's nothing, you know, you expect more of this guy because you know what he's capable of. But the last week, he was every bit Fernando Tatis that you'd expect him to be.
I think that's a good call. Mine is a guy who absolutely saved my life. Riley Green had a phenomenal week last week. So he deserves my MVP. 3 home runs on the week, including 2 on Sunday, which I won home runs by 1 home run. And just last week, 385 average, like I said, 3 home runs, 9 RBIs, and 7 runs scored. And I just think Riley Green is a guy who kind of just quietly goes about his business, but I think he's a near elite asset, and especially in on-base leagues. Like, I think he gets a lot of respect, but I still think he's extremely underrated. And I think he's a phenomenal guy to look out for next year's drafts. I think he's going to offer a great ROI. And like I've been saying, watch out for the Tigers in general. They just brought up Trey Sweeney. It's another guy who could have a fantasy impact next year, but Riley Green been phenomenal.
You know, what's so interesting about that also, I love when you're down going into Sunday and you just have a crazy day on Sunday. That somehow feels better than going up big earlier in the week, you know, and you come from behind. So the 2 home runs on Sunday, that's always freaking awesome.
Well, I definitely got saved because I had those 2 home runs on Sunday. And then I also had James Woods 2 home runs on Sunday. And then Willy Adames had 2 home runs on Saturday. So I really pulled that one out of my.
Yeah, and there. Trey Sweeney was in the Yankee farm system also. Mm-hmm. They traded him to Detroit, so I remember that name. So now my lock of the week, and you just talked about it earlier in the episode, and I kind of hinted at it earlier in the episode, and I've talked down this guy for a long time, but I talked him up earlier in the year, and it's Pete Alonso, first baseman, the Mets. This is it for the Mets. It's go time. Right now is the time for the Mets. You're home. A huge series against Washington, a huge series over the weekend against Philly, the last time you're facing them this year, at home, your last series. This is the time. Pete Alonso, you've sucked all year. This is my message. I'm going to look into the camera. I'm going to tell Pete Alonso, look at me when I talk to you, Pete. Listen to me when I talk to you, Pete, because you have sucked. You don't deserve a contract. you should be one of those guys sitting in free agency, twiddling your thumbs. And I could have said something a lot worse, but I'll say twiddling your thumbs when everyone's going to spring training and you still don't have a contract because of how greedy you got. You turned down the Mets deal and how piss poor and awful you played this year. You let down the Mets time and time again. Oh, but my numbers look good. Everyone knows your numbers are empty. You have been terrible. That said, your numbers have picked up lately. So here's the thing. If you can now translate those picked up numbers into clutch spots and you can actually come through for this team in the biggest homestand of the year in front of the Mets fans, they want to love you. They want to forgive you. They want you to be here long term because you could go end up going down as the greatest homegrown Mets player ever, because there aren't a ton of great homegrown Mets players who stayed with this team long term. You could be that guy. All it takes is 1 week. You have 1 week to just be awesome. And especially if Lindor is out still, like, and continues to stay out, you could be now the guy who carries this team into the playoffs for a week and all will be forgotten. The entire season, 6 months of shit that you gave Met fans, all the talk, the cockiness about, I'm an all-star, I'm going to hit 35 home runs, like, all that stuff can be forgotten if you just have an awesome week and lead the Mets into the playoffs. I think he will answer the call. And I think Pete Alonso is going to be the lock at first base, a weaker position, a spot you might need this week.
Yeah, it does feel like the Mets need to kind of, especially that series in Washington, you know, you can't let those games slip away right now.
You have to sweep. You cannot lose really a single one of them.
Yeah. I mean, Atlanta, I'm looking at the playoff odds right now. The Mets and the Braves have the same record, yet Atlanta has a 25% higher probability to make the playoffs.
Yep.
You have to win that series. I mean, sweep. I agree with you. I went in the same division, actually, back to catcher, guy that we haven't talked about much other than maybe just he's been kind of disappointing, JT Realmuto. Mm-hmm. He's only the 18th ranked catcher this year in fantasy baseball. He was drafted as probably a top three catcher, right? I mean, Will Smith and Realmuto and Adley. And that was, you know, they're kind of in a tier of their own. Maybe William Contreras, I guess, too. But I went through a lot of time this year where I was starting, you know, Shea Langeliers or David Fry or Tyler Stevenson over Realmuto, A, because he was hurt, or B, it just didn't feel like he was, you know, the same guy that we were thinking or hoping for. He seems to really be figuring it out, though. And even though his year hasn't been what we expected, he still had like a semi-productive year when he's played. 267 average, 12 home runs, 45 runs and 42 RBIs. He's definitely figuring it out, though. Lately, his numbers have picked up. And, you know, we just talked about the playoff race. He's sitting right in the middle of one of the most dangerous lineups in all of baseball there. You know, they want to be playing their best baseball going into the playoffs, and he is absolutely a part of that. You know, he's been hurt all year, but I think this is the time where, you know, like I said, he's really heated up. This is the time where it feels like, okay, he's got to like go in playing his best baseball. And I absolutely think he's capable of it. I still think he's one of the best offensive catchers in the game. He's one of my favorite players just to watch in general. And he's my lock of the week.
Fantastic. Unless you have anything else, until next time, I mean, the baseball season's rapidly coming to an end. So,
yeah.
Till next time, like, subscribe, share the podcast. We'll see you all.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.